All right. Welcome back. Welcome to High Minded Seeking Righteousness. I'm John. I want to thank everybody for listening. There's been tremendous support and tremendous amount of listeners in a short period of time. And I want to thank everybody for that. It encourages me to keep going down this path, and I do enjoy it. I don't think that I'd stop. Again, I've through these lessons, I've also learned, and as we delve into some of the negative stuff, that it's very easy to let that stuff, it's not easy, it takes practice to let that stuff roll off your back and dismiss it. So this is a constructive and positive experience for me, and I enjoy it greatly. And again, I feel it's something that I'd be remiss if I didn't share certain perspectives or insights from my life experiences with others. And, you know, hopefully it helps people grow and they're receptive to it, because I have grown significantly and found who I am and who I'm intended to be, or at least not that I am that, but who I'm intended to be. And seeking righteousness is taking me down that road, and I'm glad to be doing it with you. I'm glad to have some company on this journey. That being said, this episode is going to focus on respectfulness, which is, and I do want to, before I jump into it, I want to say that there's a link in the bottom of the podcast description that will take you to a place where you can send me a message, and I'd love to get any questions or comments from you folks. It will help me get your perspective and give me more content to discuss that's purposed and focused on some of the questions that you have, either about some of the things that I've already discussed or some of the topics that I can discuss in the future. But again, that being said, we're talking about respectfulness in this episode, and it's a good, it segues very nicely from being considerate and understanding, because the consideration and the understanding that we process through or we've gone through when dealing with other people and even ourselves is leads us to a behavior and how we should behave. And there's a lot to our behavior. And when we get into the last segment of this season, love, it'll address kindness and the behavior of love. But and those are more significant, and patience, kindness, and we'll get into that more than likely next season, but we will get into it with love. But respectfulness is bred of having consideration and understanding for another person. Now, when we're talking about respectfulness, I like to get into the definition. Is somebody who's full of or characterized by showing politeness or deference. Now, deference is another word that's not often used, so I'll spend a minute in the definition of that. To defer to someone, which I use that term quite regularly, means respectful submission or yielding to the judgment, opinion, will, and it says, etc. I want to add desires of another. Also, second aspect is respectful or courteous regard, and I want to say or is also important. Courteous regard here. For what the other person, what you've determined by being considerate and understanding, you've determined what their wishes are or what their wishes may be at a core level, and you're now being respectful. You're through your journey to righteousness, you are deciding that your behavior in keeping with love is courteous regard or deference. And these are parts of being respectful, showing politeness or deference, and being full of these things. If your respectfulness is characterized by showing politeness and deference. So deference, one of the things that people will stray from is that respectful submission. Very difficult to submit yourself to someone else. People often get hung up on one of the Bible verses, and even in churches, and this is where I steer away from it, where there's a verse that says, wives, submit to your husbands. Submit. And it's very difficult, very difficult for, you know, women to perceive that they're supposed to submit to their husbands. But let me let you know also, it's only pointing out in that specific relationship that someone need to make the decision. And in churches, whenever I hear a pastor or someone even bring that up, they're often followed up with but, because they feel they need to explain. And maybe they do, but because people are missing the point here. In James chapter 4, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So we have to live a life of submission to God. And furthermore, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we're all supposed to be submissive to each other. Dominant dynamic has no place except in and again, I got to be careful because I am a Christian guy, but there is certain places where somebody wants to be dominated. And, you know, I'll let you process that in your mind. And if it is something that's good and one person wants it and the other, then there's value there, because you're, in fact, being courteous, and it becomes a good relationship. But there's really only one place for that primarily. And that's something for you folks to figure out on your own. So with the definition of respectfulness and the definition of deference, we have to understand that now we've considered another person's feelings, and we've gotten to the point where we understand at the highest level or the lowest level, whatever the case may be, so that we can genuinely decide how to treat this person, that we now at this point come to the place of being respectful. And respectfulness is being characterized by that deference to their wishes. So now it's difficult, because there's not always, there is a place for deference universally, but sometimes, as I said, on core belief issues, you must stand up for what you believe in. And another one of these virtues is courage. We talked about encouragement earlier, but courage is also very important, the courage to stand up for what you believe in. And it's a very difficult thing, or for some people, it's just seems to be very easy. They can jump right on it. And it often leads to conflict when somebody, so you got to pick what you choose. Choose your battles. My dad used to say, tell me to major in the majors. Spend time in the big things. Don't argue with someone over every little thing. Defer to them. Be respectful of their wishes. So how do you be respectful of someone's wishes? And again, going back to that definition, showing politeness or deference. It doesn't mean in your life. I mean, when it comes to decisions, there are times where you have to stand up for what you believe in. And when it's things of importance, or when somebody's hurting another individual or is putting someone else in harm's way, at that point, you have to opt that respectfully. You can still be polite. See, it's showing politeness or deference. You can still be respectful by showing politeness to them. But sometimes the most respectful way that you can be is to show deference to them. Meaning, for example, if someone says that they'd like to, or it's important to them that you not curse, as they say, or use coarse language, as I say. To me, it's no issue. But since I've gone through the process of considering their feelings, giving them consideration, and understanding that I need not know why we disagree or why they believe that cursing or swearing is offends them, my respectful behavior, I've considered it, and I've delved into the high level of understanding. Now I choose to defer to them. I choose to, on this specific decision, where in my life I know that it has no effect on me. And as I said, knowing is a major aspect of faith. Hope is different, but it also has to do with belief. But knowing, even though I know my position, and I know that using this coarse language is in fact not an affront to God. And it is, it should not, from my standpoint, be an affront to anyone else. It's not up to me to determine their journey or where they are in that process. So taking consideration and understanding, if somebody were to say to me, John, you know, I don't like, do you always have to curse? There's the joke, you know, that people respond to that with a, with coarse language. They'll say, what the f- are you talking about? That's not respectful. Respectfulness, and again, there is a place for it because there are people, you know, your audience also. When you get to know someone a little bit better and your relationship evolves and becomes closer, where you know the intentions, and hopefully those are the true motive, the true values, the closest relationships are when you know the motives and the intentions of someone's heart, where you know, you believe you do, and you can determine who they are as a human being, and that human being is somebody that you like, and you they like you, and that relationship is comfortable enough to respect each other's wishes instinctually, meaning that I don't have to check myself, and they don't have to check their self. They're free to be them, and I'm free to be me. And those are, without question, the most valuable relationships. But there, so if somebody says to me, John, can you tone back your coarse language? I say, what the f- are you talking about? And you guys, like, it's not necessarily being respectful. And I've had those times, like I said, cursing, I believe, is when somebody says, you know, something along the lines of, I don't even like to speak it out, but they use the term damn towards something, you know, even damn it, if they're talking about something specific. But if they're not, you know, it's not as much of an issue. But they say damn to a person, like, in a follow-up with, and I don't even want to speak it out, then that offends me, or it gives me a uncomfortable feeling, because I believe that there's something to it. There is power in our words, so I steer away from that. So now, if somebody said your coarse language is offending me, John, now I've gone through the process of consideration and understanding, and it's not about me, I'm going to behave politely. And if it's something that was important to me, and it is not, again, major in the majors, choose your battles. Don't destroy a relationship for something where you can clearly defer your position to their position for the greater good of a positive relationship with them. So under those circumstances, the respectful behavior would be to defer to their position, to show submission and say, I'm not going to stand by this inconsequential behavior that I do to destroy, to damage, or to offend you. I'd rather not defend you or offend you with my behavior, because it's not important to me. And that's why you've got to choose. Also, everything can't have the importance. You've got to be clear about what's important to you. And when someone is disrespectful about the things that are important to you, and I'll speak to a relationship that I was in where this was not the case. And now, I said, major in the majors, there are important things. Betrayal is something that's very significant or important to me. Hold on one moment. As I said, I like to drink a beverage while I, in the morning, if I record in the morning, I'll have my coffee and you'll hear me sip that, and my apologies for that. Maybe in the evening I'm having a beer or a soda, and I'll have a sip of that. But so now I have to choose the things that are important to me. Now, when someone voices to you what's important to them, something of significant weight, consider it, have understanding about it, and then be respectful of it. And like I said, you don't need to have all of the details to come to the place of understanding. Understand only that it offends them, and you can associate that with something completely different that offends you and give it that weight. So betrayal for me is something that is very significant. And I expect that people that I interact are respectful of that. And a way we can as we get into the latter, the more negative things to avoid were the things to take to heart, such as betrayal. You need to make important, and you need to make sure that it's clear to those that you're interacting with on a regular basis that they understand that it can't be taken lightly. Well, I was in a relationship, and this other person would be offended by name-calling, which I'm not. I grew up in a household where me, my brothers and sisters, and I have many brothers and sisters, three brothers and five sisters, we would call each other idiot, moron, all the time. And as much as people would say, oh, that's a terrible thing, in fact, it wasn't. Because as adults, we knew that it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean that I was an idiot or a moron. All it meant that they were angry with me and they wanted to call me a name. It could have been insert any name there. And it wouldn't have been an issue because it doesn't indicate who or what I am. It only indicates that they're upset with me. So especially when we're younger, you know, little kids, and you're giving each other the business. Oh, he's giving them the business. We'd get angry. And when you knew you were getting to somebody because they'd start calling your names, and it would almost give us a little bit of a rise. Ooh, I got two of them there. Now he's calling me a moron. So there was something to it, but it didn't have weight to the being called a name. It didn't mean anything other than, ooh, they're angry. It didn't mean that I was, in fact, a moron or an idiot. Excuse me. A little bit of volume in the back. I didn't mean that, and I knew that. And we were confident enough to know that it didn't mean those things. All it meant was that they were angry. Well, this person that I was with, at one point, and it even happened when I was in the Navy, at one point I said, you're an idiot. And they just about lost their mind. I mean, they went crazy. Now, it was an important thing to them that they not be called names. Now, consideration and understanding for them, I couldn't understand it, but I could consider that I don't need to understand it. All I need to know that to them, it's a big deal. Now, unfortunately, some people will use that when they're angry, as I did. I mean, to be quite honest, we'd get in arguments, and one of the things that I'd get to as things got down the road was I'd call her the name. I'd say, you're an idiot again, knowing that that was the way I could hit back. So you need to be respectful of when people expose their vulnerabilities to you, that you not utilize those things against them. But so now respectfulness would have demanded that if I wanted to be respectful, and I should have, that I not do that anymore and imagine that that is just as bad to them as to me. Now, on the contrast, I'd say, well, you know, if you ever sleep with another person while we're not even together, but if you're ever after me, then that closes the door to us ever being together again. That's just how I am. That's just who I am. And that other person needs to be respectful of those wishes. Now, unfortunately, because of my issues and that I perceive these things as betrayal, no apology in the world could resolve that. Change in behavior potentially maybe could resolve any animosity or the feelings that came with it, and that's respectful behavior as well. But once they go down that road, if you disrespect someone in a way that's serious and that you run the risk of damaging your relationship with them irreparably, meaning that you've disrespected them on a level that they cannot overlook, and at that point, you've done the deed. The scar, the wound has been inflicted. You cannot stick the knife in the person. You stick a knife in someone, you wounded them. If you take that knife out, the wound is still there. You cannot undo an inflicted wound. So now, with respectfulness, you have to understand other people's position on these things. And there are people that will find a respectful person and overuse it and say, well, you know, if you look at me cross-eyed, you're disrespecting me. If you take three steps forward, you're disrespecting me. If you, use non-antibacterial soap, you're disrespecting. Excuse yourself from that situation. That type of person requires a lot from you. And to be in constant concern, which is why those best relationships are when it's natural, when your behavior matches up with another person's behavior. But being respectful of someone else's wishes means that you defer to their position on it. So ultimately, I was unable to, things were off balance. So in a relationship of any weight, a significant other, a spouse especially, but even, children and parents and brothers and sisters, it's important that you're respectful. And the way to be respectful is to show deference or submission to their positions where you can. And you want to go into more serious conversation, maybe about the conflicts on a lighter level. As somebody did say, you're using... if you drink coffee with cream, that you're being disrespectful. I don't want creamer in the house. You're going to have to say, well, this is going to be very difficult for me to be respectful of. And I apologize that we disagree on this issue and we can go separate ways. If someone says, you're being disrespectful of me if you have an intimate relationship with another person. Well, that makes sense because one way or the other, that's a major issue. And that's something that out of consideration and understanding, you should be able to be respectful of. And you would be wrong not to be, from my standpoint, because it is enough of an issue that you could see that it would cause significant damage, or it could delve into issues that would cause the two major facets of conflict or destruction, and those are anger and hurt. When you can avoid hurting someone, or you can avoid angering them, then you can avoid doing significant damage. You can avoid potentially destruction, but you don't want to avoid it at all costs, because the consequences of being dishonest or being disingenuous can be far longing over time if it's a relationship that you intend to be in for any prolonged period of time. So respectfulness demands that you, and if you can't defer, you can still be polite. And again, it brings us back to the decision showing politeness or deference. And you can let the person know, look, I know you don't want me to drink cream, you don't want creamer in the house because you only drink your coffee black. Well, I love myself, so I put creamer. You can drink your black bean water, but I love myself, so I'm going to use creamer. That's a joke, but sometimes you can lighten things with humor. But in the case of that, you want to have a discussion to say, politely, I enjoy creamer in my coffee, and if this is a major issue for you, either you say I can defer and not have creamer and sacrifice the little thing, or say, do you think that you could defer and understand that I mean no offense? I mean no offense, which is something that, being polite, if you can't defer, so if somebody says, why did you call me an idiot? I can't take that. Now, I can defer, or I can be polite and still be respectful and say, I meant no offense by it. It's habit. It's no different. And try to explain. Now, many people will not accept that. They want to be in charge. They do not want to submit. They want to be dominant in every situation. And they will overwhelm, and they want to get you to see their position and change your behavior, which is where the conflict arises. But and they're clearly not being respectful of your wishes. So when you find yourself in a situation where someone will not compromise, which is the ultimate goal of two respectful individuals, is that we respect the other person's position or the other person's feelings enough in any interaction that you're willing to compromise. And that requires respectful behavior. It requires that you do defer in some, not 100%, but in some capacity towards their will or their wishes. And in addition, that they defer or submit to your wishes in some fashion. And hopefully, you can do those things to avoid conflict with this person. But the first steps in any of those issues where you have some disagreement or you have some dispute is consideration and understanding, using those to think about their position and the possibility that you may not know or ever be able to figure out why they believe that way, but understand that they do believe that way. And they may feel the same way as you about something similar for some reason that you could never know. And then follow that up with the behavior of being respectful. And when two people can be respectful, they can be open and honest, because being open and honest with a person is being considerate and respectful of them. For example, if somebody doesn't like cigarette smoke in the house and the other person is a smoker, being respectful would demand that you smoke outside or that you not smoke in the house. And when you do that, though, when you disrespect the person by lying, somebody should be able to just ask, have you smoked in the house? Now, the human beings who say no, they've got their own selfish motive. No, I'm not going to, I didn't smoke in the house. And if they did, and if they lied about it, now they're being disrespectful. They don't believe, they're treating you as though you would be, they're not allowing you to make the determination on your own and to act out of truthful behavior, because the other person's trying to protect their own wishes. And that really leads us into selfishness, which is right outside. Way, it's stark contrast to loving another person and the behavior of love. And we've all done it. Again, consideration and understanding. You can say, I've done that before. But where you're in a position where somebody constantly or regularly will deceive you or lie to you because they're afraid of how you'd react, well, that's not an excuse for being disrespectful. That's not an excuse for being deceptive. And deception and dishonesty, when we talk about honesty upcoming, you'll see the real damage that dishonesty can do and why it is such a disrespectful behavior. Now, everybody does it. Everybody, the human being, well, something that's chemically in us is self-preservation. It's the thing we have to struggle against. Self-preservation, all animals have it. The animal backed in the corner is going to do almost anything they have to do to protect themselves or to preserve their life. So when you're dishonest, you're being disrespectful. You're not allowing the other person to believe, or you're putting them in a situation where their beliefs are compromised. The things that are important to them are being compromised in reality. And you know that you're compromising this person's beliefs, and you're still continuing to be inconsiderate and not have understanding and be disrespectful of their position. For example, very quickly, somebody says, I didn't eat the apple when they did, and somebody says, I don't want to be with people who eat the apple. You're deceiving them. You're not allowing them to stand by their convictions. And in that regard, you're being disrespectful. So that being said, it's going to be a quick half-hour episode, and it was just a follow-up primarily to the behavior of respectfulness coming from consideration and understanding. Thanks again. Hope you have a great day. I do appreciate you being here, and hopefully you'll be here next time. Thanks. Bye.